October 3rd. An unusual incident occurred today. I slept in until 10 o'clock, something I never allow myself because of the malicious spite of our supervisor. I dressed quickly and rushed to the office where the supervisor sneered at me.
Why is your head always in such a muddle? Sometimes you go at things like fury, and every now and then you get so tangled up that Satan himself couldn't unravel you.
I would have resigned at once but for the gentility of the work. And we do have red mahogany tables. Yes, I'll admit, if it wasn't for the gentlemanly nature of the work, I'd have left the department long ago. After the office, there was no one about in the streets, only common women. Of the gentry, there was only a brother clerk with his eyes on the legs of a passing woman.
Ah, my friend, what a rogue you must be. A woman has only to go by in her little hat, and you'll tag along for sure. Oh, enough. Lechery.
A carriage drove up to a shop as I was passing. A director's carriage. It must be his daughter, Sophia, I thought. And I pressed close to the wall. The door opened, and she fluttered out like a bird. Oh, God, I am lost forever. Lost. She didn't recognize me because of my dirty old-fashioned cloak. After she swept into the shop, her little dog was left outside. I know this little dog. She is called Maggie. I have been noticing for some time that an extraordinary number of dogs seem to be carrying parcels for their masters. But now that I looked more closely, I could see that Maggie had a letter in her mouth. It took her only a moment to pass it to another little dog named Fidele, who was following two ladies. I also thought I heard a few words pass between the dogs. Steady, I told myself. Don't be surprised. Dogs are a very intelligent race, always observing us human beings and saving their comments for themselves.
I do notice that lately I've begun to see things which no one else has ever yet seen or heard. I decided to follow the women into Meshkomskaya Street, where they turned into the Sverkov house. All right, I thought. At the first opportunity, I'll definitely make use of this.
October 4th. Today is Wednesday, and so I was in the director's study to mend his pens. Our director is particularly fond of me.
If only his daughter were too.
Oh, what knavery. Never mind. Never mind. Silence.
At exactly 1:30, an incident occurred which is impossible to describe. She herself came in. Holy fathers, how she was dressed. Like the sun. Just like the sun. And what a voice. Honestly. like a canary. When she said, "Is Papa not here?" Oh, my tongue would not move. I wanted to say, "Don't have me put to death. But if you've already decided to put me to death, then strike with your own noble hand." But I merely said, "No, not at all." When she dropped her handkerchief, I flung myself forward, slipped on the blasted floor, and almost smashed my nose. Towards evening, I went to Her Excellency's gate and waited a long time in case she should come out and get into her carriage so that I should see her once again. But no, she didn't come out. She didn't come out.
November 6th. The supervisor has begun to get waggish. "You think I don't know all your tricks? Why, you're trailing around after the director's daughter. Just think what you are. Zero. Less than nothing. Penniless. And just look at your face in the mirror. How can you think of such a thing?" He's jealous. I'm a gentleman. I'm only 42, an age at which a career is only just begun. Just wait, my friend. You won't be fit to lick my boots. Poverty.
Only trouble is poverty.
November 8th. Went to the theatre. Laughed a lot. A sort of vaudeville with amusing verses about lawyers, merchants, and other deceiving swine. Very frank. I like going to the theatre. I like going to the theatre. I noticed one dancer in particular. I noticed one dancer particularly. I remember her. Knavery. Never mind. November 9, another day at the office. Ignored everyone. Swine. Passed through the director's quarters, but no one was about. After dinner, for the most part, lay on my bed. November 11. Sat in the director's study today. Mended 23 pens for the director. And for her,
pins for Her Excellency. Someday. Someday, I'd like to peep into their drawing room and beyond, into the other rooms. Oh, what rich ornaments, what mirrors. I'd like to peep into the half where Her Excellency has her rooms. That's where I'd like to go, into her boudoir, to see how all her little jars and flasks are standing there. How the dress she's thrown off is lying, looking more like air than a dress. I'd like to peep into her bedroom. There, I think, would be a paradise. I'd see the stool on which, getting up from her bed, she places her little foot. Never mind.
Silence. Tomorrow, I must get hold of the correspondence which these wretched little dogs have been exchanging, and I shall probably discover a thing or two. November 12.
This afternoon, I went off down the Meshkanskaya to see the dog, Fideli, and ask her about the letters. When I rang the bell, a girl came out, not bad-looking, with freckles. What do you want, she asked. I must have a talk with your dog. She blushed a little. I could see at once that she was stupid. I tried to seize the dog, Maggie, but she nearly bit my nose off. Then I saw her basket. Standing in the corner, I searched the straw and pulled out a small bundle of little papers. Seeing this, the nasty dog began whining and making up to me.
But I said, now, my dear, goodbye. And I ran away. The girl must have thought I was mad, because she got terribly frightened. When I got home, I began sorting the letters, but I couldn't see very well by candlelight. So I went for a stroll to think the matter out. Dogs are a wise race. I shall probably find out everything.
There will be something about her. Never
mind.
Silence.
November 13. Well, let's have a look now. The letter is pretty legible, but there is something rather doggy about the handwriting. Dear Fideli, I think that sharing one's thoughts and feelings with another is one of the greatest blessings on earth.
That idea is stolen from a work translated from the German. I don't recall the title.
Dear Fideli, does not my life flow amid pleasures? My young lady, whom Papa calls Sophia, loves me to distraction.
Never mind. Silence.
My dear, I know of nothing worse than the habit of giving dogs round pellets of bread. Some gentleman sitting at table who has touched all sorts of dirty things with his hands starts molding scraps of bread with those hands, calls you up and thrusts the ball in your teeth, who refuses to be courteous, so you eat it with revulsion, but you eat it.
Oh, what rubbish!
Give me a human being. I want to see a human being. I ask for food to nourish my soul. And instead, these trifles.
Sophia is so excited these days about the gentleman of the bedchamber who is calling upon her. A gentleman of the bedchamber with eyes as black as agate.
If she likes this gentleman, she'll soon like the clerk who sits in Papa's study, always mending pens. What a scarecrow he is. An absolute tortoise in a bag. What clerk could that be? He has hair like straw, and Papa is always sending him off on messages instead of a servant.
I think this rubbish little dog means me. Have I got hair like straw?
Sophia can't help from laughing when she looks at him.
You lie, you blasted little dog. What a filthy tongue. As if I didn't know this comes from envy. These are the tricks of the supervisor, a man who has sworn unending hatred and who harms me at every step. The gentleman of the bedchamber now comes every day. Sophia is madly in love with him. Devil take it. I cannot stand all this intrigue. You find a poor treasure for yourself. Think to reach it with your hand. And some gentleman of the bedchamber snatches it from you. It's also very disappointing.
I've torn the stupid little dog's letters to shreds.
December 3rd.
Impossible. Absolute twaddle. There can't be a wedding. What if he is a gentleman of the bedchamber? That's nothing. A mere title. Does he have a gold nose? Or three eyes? Gentleman of the bedchamber, indeed. He's no better than I.
Perhaps I am really a count or a general, and only appear to be a clerk. Perhaps I don't know myself who I am.
After all, there are many examples in history where a mere peasant turns out to be a prince.
Can't the title of
Governor General be bestowed on me this very moment? This very moment? December 5th. Read the papers all morning. Strange things are happening in Spain. The throne is vacant. Rebellion is rife. Strange. Throne be vacant. A kingdom can't exist without a king.
There is a king, but he is somewhere in hiding.
December 8th. I couldn't get the Spanish affairs out of my head. These events upset me so much, I couldn't sit down to anything all day. Lay on the bed, for the most part, and debated the Spanish question.
An empty throne is unthinkable. 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 An empty throne is unthinkable.
an empty throne is unthinkable. An empty throne is unthinkable. An empty throne is unthinkable. An empty throne is unthinkable.
Year 2000, April 48. Today is a day of the greatest solemnity. Spain has a king. He has been found. I am that king. I discovered this at precisely 2 minutes after 7 this morning.
I can't understand how I could have thought myself only a clerk. How could such a mad idea have entered my head? It is a good thing no one thought to put me in a lunatic asylum then. Now all is clear to me. I see through everything. Until now, everything was in a kind of mist. This happens because people imagine that the human brain is situated in the head. Quite the contrary. A human brain is born by the wind from the regions of the Caspian Sea.
I didn't go to the office. The hell with it.
Martoba, 86. Between night and day. Our administrative clerk came today to say I must go to the office. That it is more than 3 weeks now since I haven't been to work. For a joke, I went to the office. The supervisor thought I would bow to him and make apologies. But I regarded him indifferently. I sat down in my old place, gazed upon the rabble. How you would all bow and scrape if you knew who sits among you.
What amused me was when they put a paper before me to countersign, but right in the very central space, reserved for the director's signature, I wrote,
Ferdinand V.A.
But I didn't insist on allegiance.
From there, I went to the director's flat. I went into the director's quarters and went straight to her boudoir. She was sitting at the mirror and jumped up and stepped away from me. However, I did not tell her I was the king of Spain, but only that a happiness exceeding her wildest dreams awaited her, and that despite the machinations of our foes, we would be together. She said nothing, and I went out. Oh, that crafty creature, woman. They marry only for ambition, and ambition is caused by a little bubble under the tongue which holds a smallish worm about the size of a pinhead, and a certain hairdresser is responsible for it all. One who lives in Grokhov Street, I don't remember his name, but it is notorious that he and a certain midwife want to spread Mohammedanism all over the world, and it has already taken root in France.
No date. The day was dateless. Went incognito along the Nevsky Prospect. The Imperial Tsar rode past. The whole town took off their hats, and I did likewise, but gave no sign of being King of Spain. I have decided to introduce myself at court only when I have the Spanish national dress. Must get a mantle of some kind.
I should like to order it at the tailor's, but they are absolute asses and slipshod in their work. I've decided to make a cloak from my new uniform, which I have worn only twice. Behind locked doors, I've snipped it into little pieces with the scissors, because the cut must be quite different.
I don't remember the date, nor was there any month. The cloak is quite ready and sewn. As yet, there has been no deputation from Spain, though I expect it at any hour. Date 1. The extraordinary tardiness of the Spanish deputation surprises me.
What could be delaying them?
France? China? Japan? Bolivia?
Madrid, April 30th. This morning, the Spanish deputation finally arrived for me.
The rapidity of our journey struck me as strange.
In half an hour, we reached the Spanish frontier.
And so, I am in Spain.
A strange land, Spain. When we entered the first room, I saw a great many people with shaven heads. I guessed they must be grandees. The manner of the king's chancellor seemed very strange to me. He pushed me into a small room and said,
"Sit here, and if you go calling yourself King Ferdinand, I'll beat it out of you."
Then he struck me with a stick. I knew it was only a test. They still observe the manners of chivalry in Spain. On being left alone, I decided to occupy myself with the affairs of the realm. But I was vexed at an event which is to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow, at 7 o'clock, a strange phenomenon will take place.
The earth will mount the moon.
I was troubled at heart when I imagined the heaviness of the earth and the moon's unusual softness and lack of durability. I hurried into the council chamber with the intention of giving the police orders not to allow the earth to mount the moon. The shaven grandees in the council chamber were a very wise people, and when I said,
"Gentlemen, let us save the moon because the earth wants to mount it," they all rushed to fulfill my royal wish, and many of them climbed the walls in order to get to the moon. But at this moment, the High Chancellor entered. Seeing him, they all scattered.
As king, I remained alone.
But the Chancellor, to my surprise, struck me with a stick and drove me to my room.
Popular customs are still so powerful in Spain. January of the same year, occurring after April, I still can't understand what sort of country Spain is. I don't understand. I don't understand. Today they shaved my head.
despite the fact that I cried with all my might and main that I did not wish to become a monk. But I already can't remember what happened to me when they began dripping cold water on my head. I have never felt such hell. I was on the point of frenzy, so they could hardly restrain me. I cannot comprehend this senseless, useless custom. I suspect I've fallen into the hands of the Inquisition. And the man I took for Chancellor is probably the Grand Inquisitor himself. Date 25. Today, the Grand Inquisitor came to my room, but when I heard his footsteps, I hid under a chair. Although he called Ferdinand, 8th King of Spain.
Ferdinand, 8th King of Spain.
I did not reply, for I thought you won't fool me, brother. We know you. You'll pour cold water on my head again. However, he caught sight of me and drove me from under the chair with his stick. But I absolutely despise his powerless spite, knowing as I do that he is only the tool of the French.
King of Spain, King of Spain, King of Spain, King of Spain, King of Spain.
Cold water on my head. They don't heed me, don't see me, and don't listen to me. What have I done to them? What reason have they for torturing me? What do they want from me by misery? What can I give them? I have nothing. I have not the strength. I cannot suffer all their tortures. My head burns and everything is circling about me. Save me. Save me. Take me away from this world.
Drive on.
Start upward, my steeds. Further, further, where nothing can be seen. Nothing. The sky whirls before me. A star glitters in the distance. The forest rushes on. The crescent moon, the violet mist, the sea on one side, Italy on the other, and now Russian comes to the earth. That my home that grows blue in the distance. Is that my mother sitting in the window? Mother! Mother! Save your wretched son! Drop a tear upon his aching head. Look! Look how they torture him. Pass the poor orphan to your breast. There is no place on earth left for him. They are cursing him off! Mother!
Oh. Oh. Oh.
And by the way, did you know the Caliph of Baghdad has a wart?
Right on the end of his nose.
Nose? His nose? Right under his nose?
Diary of a Madman was dramatized by James Burke, and the original musical score was composed and directed by Peter Shade. The original 1963 production was remixed for radio by John Whitehall. Diary of a Madman with Kenneth Williams.